Hi, Michael Feldman here, welcoming you to the final entry in a funny You Don't Look 30 specials of What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. New York, New York, June 9th, 2012. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. What's not to like about having Sarah Jessica Parker and Loudon Wainwright on? But this was to be the last show for my friend and cohort Jim Packard, my longest successful relationship. Jim and I did 27 years of shows together. Close to 200 of them were road shows in every part of the country, but none more special than coming back to New York. By this point, Jim had to travel with an oxygen tank. But even so, he was determined to return to New York and make a long weekend of it with a Broadway show and maybe a little fine dining with his wife, Deb. As he told a friend before leaving, on to the next great adventure. This one's for you, Jimmy. From NYU's Skirball Center for the Performing Arts, What Do You Know?
Here he is, that guy. No, not that guy. Michael Feldman.
Hey. Yo, New York. Hey, New York. Hey, Brooklyn. Hey, Oklahoma. They're all here. Yeah, so of course this is a big gulp thing has been on all our minds because, you know, back in Wisconsin there, we keep them at our bedside, you know. You got Nanny McBloomberg, I don't know what that's all about, and Sugar Water Daddy, your Sugar Water Daddy. But in a way, it's nice that somebody cares, you know. We don't get a lot of that. It's just too bad it's him, that's all I'm saying. Well, you know, Giuliani had his jaywalking and littering thing and all that, and Bloomberg has his lifestyle things, and everybody's different, like Mother used to say. They give me a jaywalking ticket, though, but you'll have to pry my cold, dead, sticky hands off my extreme gulp. 128 ounces. Takes all 585 calories just to hoist it. So it's actually zero sum, actually. Use all the calories trying to drink it. So, you want to tackle obesity, I can understand that, but then you have to tackle ethnicity, you know, and you don't want to go down that road because most ethnic groups are large boned. That's been proven. That's how they prevailed over the lesser boned ethnic groups, who you don't hear from anymore. And there's the ethnic food, that's a factor as well. You know what I'm saying, but it comes with the turf. And then smoking, and the smoking thing, you know, a guy shouldn't have to join the military to smoke them if you got them, I think. So currently in New York, you can't smoke in front of a firing squad, and I think that's extreme. It's something to do with a hand that's not holding a super gulp. You know, you got one hand here, and you got this, and you got a... At least, you know, smokers, they have patches for them, but I don't think you can get a high fructose patch. I just resent the fact that the only interest that the mayor has in me, you know, is this. If he would take the time to get to know me, he would find there's a few things he might help with that have nothing to do with sugary drinks or tobacco. And just maybe there's a thing or two he'd care to unburden himself about, you know, we could find out. Meanwhile, of course, Governor Cuomo's throwing casinos and pot at you. And so it's a mixed message from our governmental leaders. And Sandra Lee's apple butter spice bars, and who knows what's in them, for God's sake. I think Mauro needs to have a talk with Andrew, I really do. Or maybe this is a job for Mike Bloomberg, lifestyle coach. And finally, in all the New York City news that isn't, ladies and gentlemen, bolt cutters have been installed around the city for the new bike share program. Just in time for Naked Bike Day, so be careful with those bolt cutters, kids. Chinese activist Chen Guangdong, Tires of New York, says he's thinking about St. Bart's this time. Has to take the family because he wants to make sure they're okay. The old camel smoking guy sign that used to be in Times Square is being revived and updated with a smoking hole in the throat guy. Well, that should be a tourist attraction. That's a good thing. Broadway Tim Tebow seen in a fur coat and pantyhose. Didn't take him long to change, did it? few days in Hoboken, and he was a different man. A poll shows that Jewish voters are favoring Obama despite the fact that they will be Mormons posthumously. Finally, we get the good teeth. You know, that's what I'm thinking about. Good eyes and good teeth, but we're dead. Mayor Bloomberg insists on flying the space shuttle Enterprise to the Intrepid. That was embarrassing. The former Weatherman townhouse in West Village is now an IHOP. So don't tell me there's no such thing as progress. Upstate troopers are patrolling around Morristown for Mexicans who may have taken the long way around. After several tries, the huge Mormon church refuses to go down in Flushing. Okay, I'll take it out. You're right. I meant to take it out, actually. I don't know how to sneak back in there. During the recent fundraising trip, President Obama was stopped and frisked after a black male was reported wandering around the carousel in Central Park. That's just the way things are going, though, isn't it? Just wanted to have a smoke, poor guy. Leave him alone. Oh, speaking of Tim Tebow, in case you were, he has reported to Mark Sanchez's quarterback camp. So there's hope for him, I guess. And while Sanchez has signed up for Tebow's Solid Rock Christian Day Camp in West Milford. So sounds like they're getting along. The tanorexic New Jersey mom has been sentenced to Real Housewives of New Jersey. Where she can hold her own, I would say. Meanwhile, on The Real Housewives of New York, Aviva opens up to Sonia about her prosthetic leg during the pedicure when she hands her foot to the girl. Okay. Crown Heights, the debate on security cameras centers on whether digital images are graven. Or gribben, well, that'd be good. The Horn Dog High teacher's mermaid tattoo turns out to be the lick your thigh and stick them on kind. Looks like a mistrial. Campaigning for the president, Bill Clinton sends him out for coffee across the city. Okay, there's another one. We're down to just three jokes here. This shouldn't take this long. I don't understand. Actually, he really wanted to get him on this sweet whitewater resort deal he's got going. Because he's got to think about the future, you know how that goes. The Williamsburg man okay after getting bun in oven? No. Dwayne Reed turns out to be an anagram for Walgreens. You charge more for an anagram, apparently, than you can for Walgreens. And what's with complimentary panty liners? Still, any souvenir is a souvenir, I say. Zeckendorf thinking about another Four Towers. Okay, man tries to pick up entire family in family-friendly Times Square. Okay, we're almost through with this, really. Former Mayor Koch is seen with a squeegee and a dirty rag outside the Holland Tunnel. Could somebody please pick him up? Bored with Wisconsin, billionaire industrialist David Koch buys Boardwalk Park Place, the short line B&O Railroad, Electric Company, Waterworks, Battleship, Race Car, Thimble, Scotty Dog, Iron, and Top Hat. This note just in the Opera News says it will now only review the Mets. Okay, and they'll get good reviews, I think. Asked how they are doing, the Occupy Wall Street people say, I stay occupied. Finally, and I mean, we're very close to the end here, wheel thefts are back in the city, which shows you what goes around comes around. I'm glad we saved the moans for the end. I really am. It means a lot to me. Bloomingdale celebrates LGBT Day with specials across all departments. And the Mets finally get a no-hitter on the pitching end. That's unusual. That's all the news. That isn't for New York City. And everywhere up to Oklahoma. All right, I'm going to try not to fawn over, but I already have in the hallway. I fawned earlier, but I have unlimited fawning, I've discovered, for, ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, here I go again. I'm in fawning mode.
I fawned first.
Huh?
I fawned first.
You fawned first. You did, really.
I fawned first.
I thought you had the wrong guy. I really did.
Oh, no, I'm quite confident I was speaking. I was fawning over the right man.
Yeah, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So, square pegs, how's that going?
We're still hoping it catches on.
Yeah.
Still holding out hope.
Renewal is a possibility.
The way things are going.
That was where
never looked better.
That's where I originally fell in love with you, of course.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, my God, and you're a very generous man.
You were what, 16, 14?
I guess I was about 37, 38.
No, I was 37, 38. You were 14 or 16. That's
right. I was 17 and turned 18 on the set, and there was a ceremonial burning of my work permit. Really, truly, and actually, I've never told this story, but I can't imagine a better environment than the Skirball to tell you that we burned my work permit in the presence of adults, like true adults, not just people who had just turned 18, but actual grown-ups who had been considered so for at least 10 years.
Yeah.
And they took the ashes of my work permit. And if this speaks at all about the environment in which I was working, they put them in a small cocaine vial and framed it for me. I had no idea what it was. Truthfully, I thought it was the most perfect, diminutive little sweet bottle, like the absolute perfect size for ashes. I was like, I can't imagine, where did you ever find? And so quickly, like how were you able to just produce, like, Had they burned work permits before?
Yeah.
Was this something that people did a lot? Was there a whole industry?
Probably.
Yeah. Well,
if it would have gone just to a second season, you could have worked that into the show.
Yes, I could have.
Something in your locker there, a little work
just,
permit.
Yeah, that I sell, like a cottage, like a Patty Green, you know, I don't know, I can't get a summer job, so I found these little bottles. I don't know.
Is that when you were in love with a custodian, too, at one point, weren't you? The guy who,
yes, I was.
Oh. Who opened your locker.
Was that right?
Yes, I think so.
Oh, is really?
Yes.
Oh, well, if you say so.
I tend to believe
every word that comes out of your mouth.
We should spend more time there.
I know we should.
I have a lot of really false things I'd love to tell you.
Should I move to Wisconsin or should you move to New York? What a conundrum.
Yeah, it is a conundrum, especially with your husband, you know.
Oh, that's
at
right.
At the door. We have a clip, though.
We do?
See if you recognize this moment from the show.
Okay.
Well, I just said that if everybody become what they want to be when they grew up, that we'd be living in a world full of nothing but firemen, cowboys, and ballerinas.
There you go.
I definitely recognize my voice. Are you going to ask me what scene, what episode
that
was taken from?
No. Okay, that was not a quiz at all. I do have a few questions for you, though.
Okay,
What is your favorite word?
Are you being... you're doing that man. You're being that man. Is that because we're in a university environment?
Well, I thought, you know...
Do you want a real answer?
Approach. Sure.
Favorite word? Oh gosh, children.
Oh. What is your least favorite word?
Republican. That's awful. That's really awful, and that's cheap. It's lazy.
Yeah, it's lazy.
It's lazy. It's not thoughtful.
What turns you on?
Oh,
I love
Michael,
it when he asks that because you know he really wants the answer to that.
I love the free food in the room this morning, Michael.
What turns you off?
The check.
Let's cut right to this one.
Okay.
Pearly Gate one.
Oh.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the Pearly Gates?
You know, I did say this once, and I mean it, so I don't want to retract it because I want it to be good, but I did, if given the opportunity, and if that does in fact exist, and there is him, then I would like him to introduce me to Mr. Broderick, to Mr. James Broderick, my husband's father, who I never had the great pleasure of meeting or knowing.
Yeah. Well,
now it's going to get weepy and sentimental in here.
Oh, that's very sweet. And you,
what are you doing with that picture?
This simple black jacket. This is the way to wear, ladies, a simple black jacket. I love this picture,
and
that's why.
It shouldn't be just for ladies.
This is from my locker. I took it out of my locker. The tape is still on it.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And you know what? I have a very close friend of mine who is who's gay. Mm-hmm. He happens to be gay. Mm-hmm. You have to say that. He happens to be gay.
Right.
But he said, Sarah Jessica Parker, he said the thing he remembers most is this pinup picture of you.
What?
When you're kind of holding a mast.
What?
So it seems that you seem to be on either on a shaft or on top of a large building. You're holding a mast, and you're dressed like in red, white, and blue. And kind of, he said, and your fore is forward and your aft is aft.
Oh, I think I was hypnotized and they made me do that.
Oh.
Because I never would have done that voluntarily.
It's the wallpaper on my phone.
Oh, right.
I'll show you.
You don't have wallpaper on your, but I wouldn't be surprised if you actually had wallpaper on your phone.
Yeah, no, I'm old fashioned.
Because
like
you're old fashioned like that. Oh.
That one.
That's what they made me do. They made me do that.
It.
I think it was for Fleet Week. Was it for Fleet Week? No, I don't know what it was for.
I don't know what it was for, but it's.
And clearly retouched.
My fleet certainly sailed on that one. Very nice.
Thanks.
You haven't done a lot of pinups, though, I suppose.
No. I wasn't. That people didn't ring me up often for pinups.
Yeah. Do you get tired of people saying who you're wearing? When they say, Sarah Jessica Parker was, at the opera opening, whatever.
Mm.
She was wearing,
right.
The first thing I say about you is what you're wearing.
Who
are you wearing, by the way?
I don't know. I mean, just whatever was in my closet. Old. I'm wearing old.
You're wearing old.
I would prefer if they asked
who are you reading?
Who are you reading right
yes,
now?
Right.
Or what do you want to, what's interesting in the city to you right now? What are you looking forward to seeing or
what are you
eating?
What are you eating?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yep. But I've made peace with it because obviously there are far greater things one could complain about.
Yeah.
But I think my concern always is they must just think I'm stupid. Like that's pretty much all I think about would be like, what am I wearing? Or they're just trying to trip me up.
No,
you're not wearing that.
But I saw you were at something and you wore this vintage, was it Dior or something?
Could be.
Oh, yeah. And you had a sweater over it. And it was like the fashion world was rocked on its heels.
Really?
Does this mean that's...
Sweaters are in?
Sweaters are being worn over vintage.
Because I didn't have I recall, actually, that was fairly recently. That was the tribute for Mr. Cunningham at the Times.
Oh, yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And I wore a sweater because it was cold out and I didn't have anything else to wear.
But you rocked the entire industry.
Really?
You understand?
Oh,
yes,
I don't know. It must have been a very slow week for rocking. Very.
Now you got this. You got the president is coming and you're having it at the house.
I know. Isn't it hilarious?
Is there room enough? I mean, how many people can you hold?
Well, we think we're crowded with 5.
Yeah.
We're expecting about 60, I guess,
yeah.
Or 70.
Yeah.
50 for sure. But I think we're trying to figure out how to fit more in. It will be, it will be amusing to squeeze into New York space. But, this is a pretty serious campaign, so I say squeeze away.
And I loved it because it's only $3.
Yes.
And I brought my $3.
Oh, you did?
I suppose
this isn't a fix.
I have it pinned to my... my mom said, always take a little money and pin it to your bra strap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not realizing I was her son and not her daughter. So I have my $3 here already. Is that over now?
It is over. Oh. But I will take it for the campaign. But I don't know if that... Are you allowed? Are you allowed to do that?
Are you allowed to take it?
I mean, are you... Well, I feel comfortable taking it. Are you comfortable?
Take $3.
All right. And so when someone comes on and... You can give $3 toward the Romney campaign just to make sure that no one knows where you stand?
No. If he promises not to baptize me posthumously, I'm waiting for that guarantee.
Okay. This money will go to the Obama campaign.
Pin it. Pin it there. I got to pin it.
I don't have a pin, but I'm using...
It's going to move around. And that's pretty exciting, though.
I know. It's very exciting. I'm already worried that we're going to be disruptive to our neighbors, so I'm apologizing to everybody. I sort of just sit on the stoop when I have a couple moments and hope people look at me. I can detect, if there's anger or annoyance in their eye, oh, you're a neighbor. So we're going to do everything we can to make this, the surrounding area. I assume there's going to be some blocking of streets, and I already have anxiety about... making people it's annoying. It disrupts their lives.
Yeah.
And I wish I could invite everybody. They say when you have a party at your house, you should invite your neighbors so they don't get upset about
the
noise.
That, yeah.
And this is just one of those occasions where the government says I cannot.
No, you can't. You're catering, I suppose. You're not going to.
You know what? Actually, there's this wonderful chef who I love, and he's in New York. His name is Michael White. He's one of the great chefs we have in the city, and he has agreed to come and cook dinner for everybody, which is a thrill.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the president and first lady coming.
Yes,
so
yes.
I am picture how much more seriously I am making the house. Well, I'm trying to clean the house, but also because I don't know, I felt like she would pay attention to what should be a home with children, and he might not have the same vigilant eyeball. And then the last little cherry on the sundae is that Trombone Shorty is coming to play.
Trombone Shorty, yes.
You guys know Trombone Shorty?
Yeah.
I freaking love him so much.
Clyde used to hang with Trombone Shorty.
Really?
Yeah. Clyde knows Trombone Shorty.
Really?
Clyde Stubblefield.
We can, I guess, should we talk? You don't. He says you're insane.
No, that's not what he's saying.
Okay.
He's hard to understand. He's saying something.
But
incredible.
Yeah,
is Matthew helping at all with the preparation? I mean,
how would you define helping and preparation?
But I mean, is he picking up his stuff or something, or is he,
I'm sure.
Is he making
I think
an
he'll
effort?
Pick his underwear up off the floor. I mean, I think there will be.
Is he making an effort?
I think, yeah, he's had opinions about,
he
is helpful. He's very, very, very busy right now.
Yeah.
So, and in some ways that's good because it doesn't,
so
he's
not
around to see the madness.
Yeah.
And he might disagree with the effort, meaning like, well, that's crazy. Like that corner is fine, you know, that and a toothbrush are probably unnecessary. But he's been, he's been good counsel.
Yeah. And because he's dancing like twice
singing
a day
and
now.
Dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And singing beautifully.
Yeah.
And
did you help
hilarious.
Him with his dancing, by
no,
the way?
No, I did not.
He's a natural sort of dancer.
He would say he's not, but he's so incredibly wonderful on this show and so funny. And, he moves beautifully.
He moves
with
well.
No training.
You can see that in the producers.
Just instinct, yes.
Yes. But this is pretty heavy duty. This is heavy duty dancing.
There's one number that's 9.5 minutes long, and it's truly all over the stage and up and down staircases and over couches and on tables. But it's beautifully choreographed, and it's very evocative of those great, Fred and Ginger dance numbers from the great movies that kind of created that feeling.
Yeah. He doesn't dance on the ceiling, however, like a stair does.
No. So
that's next.
But it's still fun to see.
Yeah. But I mean, is he up there thumping? I mean, it's a townhouse, right? So he's probably above you, like.
He actually,
thumping
the thing
around.
He did most at home that I saw was that he has to do a whole number with the ukulele. So he had the ukulele a lot around the house.
That's not annoying.
Day and night. It actually was. It was very, very charming, and our children adored it. And actually, my daughter the other day was singing a song, and I said, Loretta, what is that song? It's so wonderful. It's wonderful. And there were some stuff that she had definitely robbed from a song that we all know, but she had incorporated into her own song. She said, it's just something I wrote on my ukulele.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah, it was really cute.
But I mean,
for
you, you didn't sign on to marry Arthur Godfrey or something. I mean, the ukulele's got to be a little bit annoying.
I don't know why I didn't find it annoying at all, honestly, and also because he could play a lot of songs that we do sing. So we actually could, as corny and horrible as it sounds, we did all sing as a family. Like, he could play Daisy, Daisy. He could play a lot of the songs that we sing. Isn't that a nice
benefit? You guys are
all
so cute.
We're
not cute
at all. We're actually awful.
Yeah.
But that's just... That was one cute moment.
Yeah.
That will never happen again.
No.
I promise.
Did you guys meet in a was it a musical or a play of some sort? Or?
We met Matthew and his oldest best friend Kenneth Lonergan and my two brothers were part of founding members of a theater company in New York called Naked Angels, and I was hanging around and Matthew was directing a play of Kenny's called The Suffering Colonel. My brother was playing that Suffering Colonel. I guess they'd say the title character. And I was hanging around, and my brother sort of set us up. And I'm awfully grateful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did it work out right away, or was there... If you don't want to talk about this, you say just I don't want to talk about it.
No, eventually it worked out right away.
Yeah. In what way? How did it work out?
Well, eventually when we were no longer... committed to other parties, it worked out
really
well.
Oh, yeah, okay, I get you there. I get you there, okay. I'm in on all this stuff. I know all this stuff. You're doing a lot of producing now as well, is that?
Yes. Yep, trying. Yep, yes, actually.
What are you currently working on?
We have a few shows we're working on for HBO, where I have my little company, and we're working on a documentary series on the New York City Ballet. It's the first time in the company's history that they're giving all access to the entire organism, which is really exciting. Things like that.
Yeah. And isn't that show about the roots, people going back to their...
Yes. I was
that's
just
yours.
No, that's Lisa Kudrow.
Oh.
That's all
Kudrow.
Lisa. Yeah. Yeah. That was a great experience. That was an amazing experience.
Yeah. Was your company involved in that, though?
I was just a hired subject.
Well, that's a very good idea, too.
Yeah. She's very bright. She's amazing, Lisa. You should have her on the show. You should have had her today instead.
Yeah. No.
She's great. You must know her, actually. Have you met her?
No.
Oh, she's incredible.
How would I know her?
I don't know, because she's
from Milwaukee. I don't
smart,
think so.
Funny, comes from the world of improv. I don't know.
Yeah,
well,
no, we all know
all
each other.
You, yeah,
we all know each other.
Know each other. Even if you don't, you find each other. Like, she flies to Wisconsin to say, hey, it's weird we haven't met yet. We should know each other, and then she leaves.
Well, mention her. Mention me to
mention
her.
Mention you to her.
Mention her to me, you already did.
But she is actually, she's really, really, truly special.
Yeah.
And she does all those great, I mean, she really writes and creates everything. Everything that she does that's outside of her, the job that we all, you know, friends, is her brain. And she's actually be great. She'd be amazing.
Okay.
And you guys would, you'd be like a house on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too late to rebook the show.
Sorry,
I mean, you're here and we got to work with that.
I'm enormously regretful.
We got to work that. Are you moving to Brooklyn, though? I mean, that's one thing.
No.
Okay.
But so the people of Brooklyn have been so nice about...
They want you.
Are you sure?
Well, I think so. We have people of Brooklyn speaking for the people of Brooklyn.
Well, what are they going to say now? I'm in the room.
They would love to.
Behind my back. Oy.
But that was another big deal. It's shockwaves.
I never even saw... We've never seen those houses. I've never been on that street. It seems like a wonderful street, but it's two... First of all, it's two houses.
Yeah.
Although that would have served Thursday night beautifully.
Yeah.
That could have helped. We could have gotten more seats, more money... For the Obama administration.
Yeah, you could.
The re-election campaign.
A little more room.
And my father was born and raised in Brooklyn, but my husband was born and raised in the West Village, so there we shall remain.
That's too bad, because I actually made a big search of places that you might like.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
All right.
There's some places here now, and actually, you see, here it is.
Our needs are few.
Sarah Jessica, neighboring Heights.
I've never seen those houses. I've never seen them.
They look nice. But, you know, they're selling... Where is it? Jennifer Aniston, all that stuff. Wrong show. Merv Griffin's estate is up for sale, but that's in L.A. But you are bi-coastal, right, as well?
No, not at all.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Park Avenue.
I mean, I'll go if someone makes me.
Here's one, a nice one, rooftop shower, Empire State View.
Oh, gosh, that's great. The shower has the view, or the...
Yeah, I don't know. You can shower.
Okay.
Well, this is the one, actually, New York State surplus property here. In Brooklyn, you can get the Marcy Avenue Armory. And you get an entire armory. It's like a castle.
Oh, my God.
Look at the size of it.
That's so it seems like it's maybe a deal with the city.
It's like 80 rooms. It's up for auction.
Holy cow. When's the auction?
I don't know.
People are going to run out of this building right now.
Yeah.
Just to try
to
get in line.
It's a great little fixer-upper.
That's actually a beautiful, beautiful building.
Yes, it is. Well,
so,
why don't you take
that
with
you? No more information?
Yeah.
Do we know where Marcy Avenue is? It's Kings County, of course.
Yeah.
Do we know where in Brooklyn that is? Is it? Anybody?
You know where that is?
Okay.
Armory?
It's an urban location on a large city block, side streets and play yard. Oh, Hayward and Lynch. Does that ring a bell? Harrison Avenue? No.
Perfect.
No. Oh, someone's giving.
Bed-Stuy.
Bed-Stuy, growing important.
There's a gymnasium.
Part of the big NPR audience in Bed-Stuy.
Yeah, gymnasium, and there's actually a shooting range.
Oh, my God. There's an enormous boiler.
An enormous boiler?
My God, look at that. I think that's a boiler. Is that a train or a boiler?
Well, that might have been the train station at one time. And there's some very nice little motifs in the gymnasium there.
Oh,
and
can you imagine actually seriously how absolutely beautiful this building must be?
And there's a sanitarium included.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, look at this.
Look at this. See, this is
Oh,
outside.
My
look
God.
At this.
Well, this is beautiful, beautiful. Oh. You can imagine the lead paint, you know, the asbestos. But it's sad because... Actually, I love the look of lead paint so much. I know you all agree.
I do, and I love
and
the taste of it.
It's terrible. I used to like the taste,
I love
and I
the
grew
flakes.
Out of that. But lead paint is often very thick and glossy, so it's been very hard to recreate that.
It is hard.
Porch paint, I've now, discovered. Porch
you know
paint.
What? I have a special request of you now.
Oh, okay.
Doing the show, and we had to arrange it because dates are dates when they're available.
All right.
But my daughter, Nora, is graduating today.
Today?
So I had to miss her graduation, and I feel like the world's worst father.
You can imagine. God. This well, I think you are.
yes. No. I'm telling you, because her feminist psychologists in the year, 2020.
Yeah, this will be what she'll be talking about.
We'll have a field day with the fact that, where were you?
Well,
you were with
terrible.
Sarah Jessica Parker in New York when I was graduating high school.
Well, that's, that's all. I'm sorry. There's
yeah,
nothing
I'm really sorry I brought it up, but
do?
I brought a card. I thought if you could maybe sign the card.
Of course I will. You want me to do it? Take yeah. valuable on-air time.
Yes, please.
Or you'll edit this.
Sign. It's to Nora.
To Nora, N-O-R-A, yeah, the traditional way, not with an H.
No, okay. Nora.
The Swedish way. Yeah. Nora.
To Nora. And she's an artist
you,
and a. And
you're going
to so
tell
forth.
Me what to say? Or?
No, you say
okay,
whatever
so
you like.
So she's an artist and she's graduating.
Graduating.
With hopes and dreams of.
Aspirations.
Aspirations, just period.
Yes.
So if I just said good luck with your aspirations, that seems kind of vague.
I don't know, whatever you would say to this thing. And then, even $10 would
I
be
fine. I feel like I should do this after this. Oh, and put. Well, I would give her the money from my bra, but.
No.
That's spoken for.
Yes.
I could give her my. I could give her my. I got a bank card, a new bank card the other day for the ATM, but I don't know my PIN code, so it would be like a promissory note, like in the Game of Life.
Just,
remember we had a promissory note.
Just sign it, and I'll put the money
up.
In there.
Okay, so listen.
I'll put them. I got.
In all sincerity, I would like to do this when I'm finished because I tend to ramble.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if that's how you want me to use my time.
Okay,
here.
All right.
But I will really.
Then
need.
There's my daughter Ellie, who is. She said, "Dad,
and
you
got
to get me Sarah
college.
Jessica Parker's autograph, and
with
I got
pleasure.
It on this particular
number,
which she could wear as well."
Yes, she could.
Is,
she just has to go gorgeous. Find it.
What,
and borrow
what is this?
It. This is a Valentino dress that I wore for the Met Ball.
Yes,
the Met Ball.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
So you
well,
signed that
so
one.
So this is for Ellie.
To Ellie.
E L L I E or E L L.
IE.
IE.
IE, yes.
IE.
Yes. Yeah. And she's going on in human ecology, but we don't know what that is.
How old is Ellie?
So I wouldn't say anything about it.
How old is Ellie?
Ellie is 21 now.
My God. Yeah. And how old is Nora?
Nora is 18.
My God.
Time flies, doesn't it?
Incredible. I remember when they were, my God, I remember when they were 2 and 3.
Well,
no,
really?
2 and 5.
Well, yeah.
No, I've never met them. I don't remember. I didn't know you had
well,
daughters.
Well, I used to change Ellie's diapers on air. That was sort
did.
Of the high point of my career.
I'm sure she's fond of those memories,
off
too.
Since then, okay.
So I'll do this so I don't waste time.
Do
I will do
off.
This
okay.
afterwards for
okay,
sure.
Okay.
E-L-L-I-E.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Coming up next for Sarah Jessica Parker, what's on the horizon? Big projects. Can you talk about them?
I think I'm doing Glee. Don't
You're
laugh
on Glee,
at me.
Yes.
Don't laugh.
So you can't talk about that because they put a tight lid on.
You know why I can't talk about it? Because I don't know what I'm playing, when I'm playing it, and maybe it won't ever happen.
Yeah. No, I think that's great.
So I'm doing. I'm, gonna maybe do a few episodes of that. And maybe
I hate
little
to admit
movie.
It, but I find Glee very entertaining. Those kids are.
Why
amazing.
Do you hate to admit it? Should I know?
Because I don't know. A grown man who watches Glee, I do it surreptitiously.
well, my son is a great fan, and so I'm happy that he's happy, which is paramount. And maybe a little movie in between at the same time.
Yeah,
I'll be doing that.
Thank you, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh my God, thank you
for joining us.
Oh, it was a thrill
I may have
of a
mentioned
lifetime.
That I love you, but I meant
oh,
it.
Oh my, well I've mentioned. Well, I didn't say it on the air that I love you.
Yeah. I love you too.
I think this is going to be. thank you.
If things
Michael
had worked
Feldman.
Out just a little differently.
Ooh,
Sarah
God.
Jessica Parker, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh.
I'm keeping this, the little black dress. Oh, okay. Boys in the band. Hey, boys in the band.
Yes, sir.
John, how you doing?
Good.
Did you get out last night and get around? And
yeah, we did some walking in Midtown.
Did some walking in Midtown?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's about all I can tell you.
Looking for something or what?
Well, that's about all I can tell you. We found what we were looking for.
Well, and that was...
It was satisfying.
Well, why don't you play something then that reflects what you found there in New York and Midtown?
Okay, this is called Cry Me a River.
The Why Do You Know Trio. Welcome back to a special edition of What Do You Know? I'm Michael Feldman. Our Funny You Don't Look 30 series continues now with more from New York City. You know, I don't leap off stages anymore. They stopped catching me after a few years. Otherwise, I'd be glad to do it. Hi, how are you? Nice to see you. How are you so far?
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Yep.
What do you do in town?
I'm visiting from New Jersey here to cross this off my bucket list.
To come to first time in New York from New Jersey?
To your show.
Pretty exciting actually to be in New York after all this time in New Jersey.
Yes, it is.
Why do you find it? Is it surprising? Or
stepped off the train and here it was.
Oh, boy. That's very good. That's very good. Let's see. Got questions here. Dan Ruffo from Rochester. Huh? Oh, there he is. Okay. I don't know if I can get to you, Dan. Just my luck. I don't see there's any way I can get there from... Ah, sure. He says, are you the first refugee from the Wisconsin diaspora? We've had a little bit of political problem there. I don't know if you noticed it. Caused entirely by a New Yorker, by the way. So, but I don't hold that against you. You don't have to stand, sir. Why don't you have a seat? Really, that's what they're for. His occupation, gas passer. All right. There's something I can relate to. Is that you? Oh, I can stand up if you would there. Hi, Dan.
How you doing?
Good. Gas passer in Rochester.
Yeah.
What does that entail? No pun intended. What does that exhale?
Yeah. You know, make people sleepy when they're...
Anesthesiologist.
Nurse anesthetist, yes.
Oh, nurse anesthetist. Okay, that's hard to say, isn't it?
About $100,000 difference.
On your side or theirs?
Theirs.
Oh, okay. Can't you just change job categories? They're asleep anyway. They're not going to know
that's
the
right.
Difference.
Yeah. Right.
Have you been to Wisconsin?
Never.
No. Okay.
No. Why not go there?
We aren't. Well, most of us, you know, if we flee, it'd probably just be to Minnesota. That's as far as we ever go. Because it's indistinguishable from Wisconsin. People confuse it. You know, they think the Twin Cities are in Wisconsin and vice versa.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll come out here. I can't afford the rent.
In New York City? Well, you know, Rochester is way upstate.
Rochester. Oh.
The rents are a lot cheaper.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, look for us.
Get a good house in Rochester.
For us. There'll be a trail of tears right to your door. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks for joining us. Well, two-part question from an insurance broker. That's exciting right off the bat, isn't it? Two-part question. When do you think the sun will fade to the point where it no longer sustains life on Earth? And two, guess how old my wife is. I think I will refrain from either of those, although they might be related. Where is Mike Parr? Oh, he's right here. Stand up, Mike. Is this the wife we're talking about here?
She started asking a mean question about me. If you read her question, it was mean about me.
You're a little defensive right off the bat.
A little bit of retaliation. So,
write a mean question about him?
I just asked why the English don't express the... Yes! Yes.
I should let you say, why the English?
I was asking you to help me answer that question. I'm sorry. Why do the English not express their emotions?
And is he English then?
Yes.
After 28 years, I'm an American citizen, so I've left all that behind.
Have you acquired some of our emotions in the interim?
Yeah, I think so. Ask the wife.
And how old is she?
She's younger than me.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Now, you have the full range of emotions in England, don't you?
I think we do. I mean, you saw the Queen this past week. You saw the full range.
Yeah. Wonderful. beautiful. That little motley collection of boats they had on the river there, that was beautiful.
I only saw John Stewart's version of it, which was a little painful.
Gee, they feel pain. Oh, we got to go. Thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
Madison, how many years ago?
15 years.
Yeah, we came out. We had a great weekend. It was actually
only 15 years later. Here you are.
Well, we waited.
God, the English. Waited. He loved the show. 15 years later, he comes again. We're going to play around with the What Do You Know quiz because that's what we have to do here. And in order to do that, we have to know who can and cannot participate legally and by law. And you are?
Larry.
Larry. Well, now I'll read the four disclaimers.
All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, and although the answers have not, ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. A must-see, Sarah Jessica Parker and Feldman's romantic sparks light up the stage. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. You're professional. I'm sorry. That was professional. What do you do?
I'm a federal employee. I'm a bureaucrat.
I thought you worked in the theater or something. That was very well delivered. And humorous. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the quiz. Chance for you to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous. All right. Well, look at this precocious young person. Come up here, young person. Tell us who you are.
I am Julius.
What?
Julius.
Julius?
Yes, that's my name.
Julius. It's a good name.
Thanks.
Groucho's Mark. Groucho Marx's name was Julius. Did you know that?
You talk too fast and I can't understand what a word you just said.
All right, I'm in New York and I'm talking too fast? What the heck is going on here, ladies and gentlemen? Julius, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. What do you do these days, Julius?
I play with Legos. I play on the iPod. I play on the Wii. Go outside and do stuff.
Go to school anymore, or did you give up the school entirely just to do all Legos?
I go to school, yeah.
Well, Julius, you got to give me one good reason you want to play this quiz. Understand that? Was it too fast? Give me one good reason you should play this quiz, Julius.
Because I am awesome.
He is awesome! Not awesome, we're both this way. Don't know how else to do it. It may not be your cup of tea, maybe you don't want to hear it. You can listen to another show on there, probably. Being a kid, you can figure out how to do that. And
yeah.
Sarah Jessica Parker stole my pen. I got to get another pen here now, Julia. Just take a minute. Talk about something that you like to talk about. Okay, here we go. I got one. Okay. Julius. So, how old are you?
9.
9 years old. Okay, that's a good year, huh? Are you enjoying 9?
Yes, I am enjoying 9.
Are you anxious to get to the 2 digits? I remember at 9.
My birthday is June 25th, so it's coming up.
It's coming up, yeah. But
yeah.
Is it a big deal to have 2 digits in your
I
number?
I guess, yeah.
Your age? I remember that. Now I'm pretty tired of it. And I'm not looking forward to 3, frankly. That's going too far. So your favorite thing to do on the planet is what?
Play with my Legos.
Play with your Legos.
And my friends.
And can you make like amazing things out of Legos?
Yeah.
What have you made that's absolutely amazing, that would astound me?
I made like a little version of myself.
You made a little Julius?
Yes, I did.
Out of Legos?
Yep.
My God.
Yeah.
That's one for therapy. I don't know. Do you go to kid therapy yet? No, probably not.
No.
Well, that's really cool. Is it like life size or?
No.
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 No. Small size.
Yeah.
And does it look like you? I mean, could you walk in a room and say, My God, it's Julius in Legos.
Probably. If
yeah.
That-ish.
Yeah, yeah. If you went like that-ish, you mean yeah. pulled your bang down?
Blue pants and a red shirt. Then yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really cool. Is that what you want to do in life, is make Lego constructions?
Yep, pretty much.
Okay. Is there a career in that, or?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Just Lego designer, I guess.
Lego designer. That's really interesting. Okay. Let me know if you see any ads in the paper for that. You always, before you decide on it, you should check to see the look in the wanted saying Lego designer wanted, if that exists.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, Julius, you're probably as smart as you're ever going to be in your life right now at age 9. No, you'll get a little smarter maybe. Then, you know, then there's a big decline in teen years. So. Yeah. But so someone out there gets to play with you, and they have a real advantage in being on here with Julius. And how do they get to qualify?
They grab the telephone, Michael, and they dial 212-992-3695.
Yes, okay. Kenosha, Wisconsin has one Olive Garden for every 100,000 residents. How many does New York City have? New York City has one Olive Garden for how many residents? That's the question now, so you've got to tell us. Kenosha, one for 100,000. New York, one Olive Garden for how many residents? That's the ticket right there. So what's that number again,
Jim? That number is
212-992-3695.
Right.
Easy way to remember that, Jim?
There is, Mike. Yeah. 21 Axe Wad Fowl.
Okay.
And in case anybody's wondering, he does have to write this down. I can see him writing it down on his pad of paper.
Nobody is wondering, Julia.
How did I know that?
Give me the numbers.
The numbers again are
212-992-3695. Okay, yeah, I got that. Terry's in Cleveland. Cleveland, that's right. Hey, Terry, how you doing?
Just fine today. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I don't know if you knew this, Terry, but there's one Olive Garden for every 100,000 people in Kenosha. I want to know, in New York, one Olive Garden for how many people in New York?
One Olive Garden for 3.6 million.
That's pretty close. Have you been to the Olive Garden, Terry?
Yes.
Yes.
Not in New York, though.
No, okay. That's pretty close. Yeah, we'll accept that. It's actually 4,750,000. But that's ballpark figure, and we're going to go with that, Terry.
Wow.
They're a little hard to find in New York, actually, and in Kenosha, not so much so. What do you do there in Cleveland, Terry?
I'm alumni director for a college, Baldwin Wallace.
Oh, you are? Oh, alumni director. Cool. Got something big coming up there?
Just finished our alumni weekend, so we'll be in the Mid-Atlantic states next week.
Sounds good. So watch out, Mid-Atlantic states. Terry's on the way from Cleveland. Terry, this is Julius. He's a 9-year-old genius that we happen to have here.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello, Julius, the Lego designer.
Yes, yeah. Lego designer.
You were listening.
Extraordinaire. All right, two of you work as a team right now. Jim Packard, what are those categories?
Those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Terry, you pick the first one. What would you like?
Let's go with things you should have learned in school.
All right, here it is. When you think of a bobcat with violets... A bobcat with violets, you naturally think of what school? Not too much wiggle room on this one. Think of a bobcat.
Think a flower? Violets?
Violets. The violets are flowers. Bobcat is a bobcat. Although it used to be a goat. It's a little confusing, actually. And violets are the key word here. School associated with violets. Terry, you know? Any chance? No?
No, I'm out of it.
No.
I know it's
Julius?
School.
No. Yeah. No.
That is a bobcat, but I can't remember the name.
Okay. All right. I've called time on this. Thank you. NYU. Violets.
Of course.
Yes. Violets. Well, the fear-inspiring name for any ball team you run into.
The Violets.
Yeah, we're playing the Violets today because the pansies couldn't make it.
No right,
the
one
bobcat,
wrong.
The bobcats is what I meant to say. Yes, okay, all right. Don't worry about it. You'll come back from this. What's left there, Jim?
Current events, people, places, science, odds and ends.
Julius?
How about science?
Science it is. You're good at this. Okay. True or false, New York's pavement ants actually pick apart sidewalks grain by grain to make their nests. The pavement ants of New York. True or false? Mythological?
I'm going with true.
He's going with true, Terry?
Juliet's your genius. I agree. Let's go with true.
It's true. It's true. They're picking them out even as we speak right now. Okay, my name, Jim.
One right and one wrong.
All right, what's up there, Jimmy?
Current events, people, places, odds, and ends.
Terry, back to you.
Let's go with odds and ends.
Odds and ends could be anything. Boo and Scout. Boo and Scout.
What?
Two youngsters around here. Who are they and what? Boo and Scout.
Boy Scouts? I think.
They could not, possibly not be human. I'll tell you that much.
Is it like a word puzzle?
No, no. Boo and Scout, they're two actual creatures, living creatures.
But it's the first word. Can you spell it? I can.
Yeah, boo as in boo and scout as in scout.
Boo as in
they're two
boo
little,
and scout, got it.
They could be some sort of animal for all we know.
Yeah.
Bird-like creatures, even.
You're being nice today, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No idea. Okay, we have to call time on this, dude. They're the baby hawks of Washington Square.
Yeah. You never would have guessed that.
You never would have guessed that. Okay, so that would be...
One right and two wrong.
Okay, don't get any wronger, because that would be...
bad.
A bad trip, as we
that
used to say.
That would be bad.
Yeah, what's left there, Jim?
Current events, people, or places?
Current events.
Julius, current events right out of the news. All right. Since the new logarithms on Midtown traffic lights, average travel speed in Midtown has climbed from 6.5 miles per hour to one of the following, at 6.6, 6.9, or 7.2 miles per hour, Midtown traffic.
What are you thinking, Terry?
I lived in the city for a bit. I was there recently. I'm going to go with 6.9.
Or 7.2 or 6.6.
7.2,
7.2 yeah, is 7.2. Right. Yes, okay, very exciting. Got to get this one right to win. What's left there, Jim?
Places or people?
Places or people?
Places
or people? Got to hurry. Places or people?
Let's go with places.
Places.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Okay. The most common complaint in the West Village right now is that the weathermen, house gawkers, doo-wop singers, or double-wide baby strollers. Most common complaint
Could
in the West Village.
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. The most common complaint in West Village is that the weathermen, house gawkers, gawking at the old weathermen house, doo-wop singers, or double-wide baby strollers. Talk it over. Need an answer?
Double-wide baby strollers? That's what she's telling me in the audience.
Are you from there? Close enough? Terry, what do you say?
Father of twins, we just took a double-wide stroller yesterday. It was annoying. I'm going to go with double-wide baby
yes,
strollers.
Yes, double-wide baby strollers!
And Terry, you can ward off summer raindrops with a fashionable tote umbrella. Bordered with fun facts about New York. On your way to visit the New York Historical Society Museum in Central Park West, read about the Statue of Liberty with a book from the Statue of Liberty Ellis Island Foundation, and continue your exploration with passes to both the Museum of the City of New York on Fifth Avenue and 103rd, and the South Street Seaport Museum on Fulton. And for you, Julius, why did the Statue of Liberty turn green? You'll find out when you visit the New York Historical Society Museum. Then scream for ice cream wearing a t-shirt from Big Gay Ice Cream, a new take on old school soft serve. Play What Do You Know, the party game, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to both of you.
Good luck in your endeavors. We can go back there now. We'll be back with the second hour of What Do You Know coming right up after a short break. What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio, yours truly, Producer International. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Hi, I'm Michael Feldman. Welcome back to a special encore edition of What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. In this hour of What Do You Know, our Funny You Don't Look 30 series continues with more fun from New York, including music from Loudon, Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road, Wainwright III.
Now, the man who wants to occupy Park Avenue, Michael Feldman.
Yeah. So, were you the gynecologist in Knocked Up?
I was, yes.
You were?
Yeah.
How did you prepare for that part?
It took a lifetime to prepare for that role.
I'm speaking with Loudon Wainwright III, ladies and gentlemen, who's joined us here at Skirball Hall, NYU's campus in New York City. And you've done quite a bit of acting, actually.
I've done a bit of acting. Yeah, I was in a couple episodes of MASH way back in the mid-70s.
Yeah.
And I was in a Tim Burton movie called Big Fish. And
oh, that was a cool movie.
A Judd Apatow TV show called Undeclared.
Undeclared. That was in Major. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was very cool. Do you like the acting as much as the singing? And
Well, you get to stay in one place a little more.
Yeah.
Kind of trapped in a trailer as opposed to, an airport or a... rent a car.
Yeah, but you're not doing your own material and stuff. You're expressing something.
Yeah,
else.
It's a more collaborative effort.
Yeah.
But I like it when I can get it, that work.
Yeah. Did you start, you've always written your own song, but even as a kid, were you writing lyrics and songs?
No, I started to sing songs, but they were, other people's, folk music boom.
Yeah, who did you cover originally?
Well, my biggest hero was Ramblin' Jack Elliott.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
And
he was great.
That was a smattering of applause.
Yeah.
Ramblin' Jack Elliott, come on!
He was great.
An American icon.
He was so cool.
And I mean, he didn't write songs, but he sang Woody Guthrie songs and, the great songs.
Yeah. So. And then you move over to cover, for a while they were calling you the new Dylan.
That was at the beginning of my career.
They knew Wainwright III,
right.
For many years.
They also called me the male Melanie, actually.
I can see that.
Clutching for straws.
I can see that.
Yeah.
First, was Edgar the first song you wrote?
Yes, I wrote a song about a lobster fisherman that I worked with in a boatyard in Rhode Island called, his name was Edgar, and the song was called Edgar II.
Yeah,
well, I don't know it. I can't remember it.
Yeah, no, I wasn't trying to set you up here for something that you couldn't do or something, but I bet there is something you could sing for us, is what I'm thinking.
I'll sing a song. I can see by casting my eyes out onto your audience that some of my demographic are here today. So I'll sing a song called My Meds. Every drug mentioned in this song, I'm either on or will be taking later this evening. My meds. Lipitor tore up my tendon, that was no damn good. So now I'm taking Crestor, cause the doctor said I should. I cut back on the Avodart, it's every other night. Lorazepam for those occasions when I'm wound too tight. Sure, Lexapro has cheered me up so much so I don't cry or get it up, so I might give some Wellbutrin a try. Girl, I swore off Cialis, I'm no longer in the mood. 4 hours at attention, man, that could kill a dude. They say Ambien's okay long as you don't drive in your sleep. If you operate machinery, pray the Lord your soul to keep. Be aware that Vesicare can cut down on the trips you'll make to tinkle in the night, plus subsequent drips. Eardrops, eye drops, nose drops, cause dried up's the shape I'm in. It's like I need an oil can, I'm like that man of tin, yeah. Ice packs and heat patches for my aching knees and back, and that little baby aspirin to ward off a heart attack. Check it out! I went down to Chinatown, the herbalist was there. I got some tea that tasted like a trucker's underwear. Those acupuncture needles, nah, they don't hurt a bit. In point of fact, those acupuncture needles don't do it. I should buy a Thai massage or get a few good hugs. Instead, I head to the drugstore, cop my load of drugs. When I was a little kid, I never popped no pills. Just a Band-Aid and Mercurochrome could cure most of my ills. Ooh. Klonopin's a controlled substance, so I bum them from my wife. If the side effects don't kill me, all my meds might save my life. And I quit drinking, smoking red meat, dairy and caffeine. I'm not quite high on life, just slightly dead, know what I mean. I even asked the doctor, Doc, how long can this go on? He said, son, you're out to pasture. Your next stop is Forest Lawn. You'll need something stronger than your Advil and a leave. If you want to eat and sleep and crap and piss and stoop and breathe. If you want to eat and sleep and crap and piss and stoop.
Oh, yeah. I can almost hear Melanie doing that. So, you know? She'd do it a little different, but, you know, it's there. It's there. I love the fact that you have never mellowed in your entire career. I think that takes a lot of doing, not to mellow. We should mention, we mentioned off air, I think, that you're tonight in Bayshore.
Bayshore. So hurry on down.
Yeah, so come down tonight and you can hear the rest of that song. Because I know there's more meds involved. That's just skimming the surface there. Oh, that was a good one. There. You worry about interactions at all among those?
Pardon?
Interactions among the drugs? That's a possibility.
I just, it's like a potpourri, you know, a depth charge of various.
You know, because they didn't used to advertise drugs on television. And now it's all in the evening news because that's our demographic once again.
Yeah.
You know, they watch it. And all these drugs, and they never tell you what they're for exactly.
Right.
But you know you need it because you have some of the symptoms. But then all the warnings they give you are worse than the disease. You know?
Yeah. They kind of mutter the warnings.
Yeah.
And then they get cheerful when they mention the name of the drug.
Experiencing death anxiety. You know. Okay, that's good. Now, how can you follow up a song like that?
Well,
if you were to.
I got a new song. I wrote it backstage, actually. I hear Sarah Jessica Parker was on. I was working. I missed her.
Oh yeah.
No. I'm doing this one because we're in New York, and that's a good thing. I just moved back to New York. I grew up in New York. In the suburbs and lived in the city for years, but then I was out in Hollywood for a few years, but I've just moved back. My wife and I and our dog, Harry, live up on the Upper West Side. When a man has a dog in the city, then a man needs to walk in the park. Take a little stroll by the riverside, smoke a cigarette there in the dark, living in the city. Man living with a dog. And the man has to carry him a plastic bag on his person at all times. When a dog dumps on the sidewalk, just walking away is a crime, living in the city. Man walking with a dog. A man likes living in the city, but a man has to find some work. Walking the dog is a kind of a job, make you feel like a fool and a jerk, living in the city.
man working like a dog. A dog likes living in the city. In the city, there's a lot of other mutts. Checking in front, checking in back, no ifs, no ands, just buts. Living in the city. Dog checking out a dog. It's a pretty good way to meet a woman. If a woman is walking her dog, just say, what's her name? How old is she? It's easy, like rolling off a log. Checking out a woman. Man acting like a dog. But when a man has a fight with a woman, a man needs to go for a walk. Walking with a dog is easy. He listens, he don't talk. Talking to a dog. Walking with a dog in the winter, in the wind, in the rain, in the snow is a drag. It's hard as hell to keep the cigarette lit and get the poop in the plastic bag. Living in the city. Walking with a dog. When a man has a dog in the city, then a man needs to walk in the park. Take a little stroll by the riverside, smoke a cigarette there in the dark. Living in the city. Man living with a dog.
Loudon Wainwright the Third.
Melanie. I don't get the Melanie thing. That was great. That was great. The new album, by the way, is Older Than My Old Man Now. So check that out. That just came out this year. Oh, that's great. Now, we're rolling right along here. Now, we got a man who is unique in my thinking because he's written everything that I have loved the most on television. You know, you have those few shows, really, very few over the years, that you think are just the greatest things ever to be on television. And chances are that Paul Simms has written them. Would you welcome, please, Paul Simms, ladies and gentlemen. Join us right now on the Skirbo. Oh, again. And I notice one of your credits is unnamed show.
I think I have a few credits that were unnamed show.
Yeah, yeah.
That's usually a pilot that you do that doesn't get picked up.
Yeah. And then, was that your own show, like the Paul Simms show?
No, not with me in it. No.
No.
It was just unnamed because I couldn't think of a name.
Yeah.
Maybe if I thought of a name, they would have picked it up and it would have ended up being a show.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a few of those. There's more than a few of those.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of interesting, I guess. But you have tremendous successes, too. The most recent one, I guess, would be the Flight of the Conchords.
Yes.
And which is an amazingly funny show. But, I mean, these guys, did you find yourself being too Wellington for some of these?
They're the politest people in the world, New Zealanders in general, I think.
Yeah.
And those two guys are the funniest people I've ever met. And the most talented, funny, like Loudon Wainwright, funny and musical.
Yeah.
And that show, I can't even take any credit for that.
But don't
was
you
all
have
them.
To get into the Wellington sort of psyche?
Mindset?
Yeah, was that hard to do? Because
Well, I felt like a loud, annoying American around them. But that's just because they're so polite.
Yeah. Well, that was a brilliant show. Yeah, that's over with now, right?
That's over with. They're on to other things. Winning Oscars, one of them. Brett won an Oscar for writing the music for the Muppet movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Which one is Brett now? Brett's the
one without the glasses.
Without the glasses, yeah.
And the big guy's doing a lot of movies now.
Yeah, he's in Men in Black 3 right now. Yeah.
Yeah, he's in everything now. He's really doing great. Well, that's terrific. And then, of course, Larry Sanders' show, maybe like the greatest, even though it was mocked, the greatest talk show of all time.
You know? That was, that was a great experience. That I have a connection, I think I have a connection with every guest here today, including yourself. The Larry Sanders connection would be Sarah Jessica Parker was a guest on Larry Sanders.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You want to play my trivia quiz?
No.
You sure?
And Matthew Broderick, wasn't he involved in something that
Matthew Broderick, I did a show with a pilot 2 years ago that didn't work out, but he's a great guy, one of the funniest actors I've ever met.
Yeah.
And has a lovely wife.
Yeah. And Loudon, did you write for him?
Loudon, no, here's the connection with that. Larry Sanders, one of the other writers, was Judd Apatow, who was a big fan of Loudon and just put him in all his movies.
Yeah, okay, well, there you go. I guess that pretty much covers everything.
No, it doesn't. Who else is on the show? Big Gay Ice Cream?
Yeah.
In 1985, I worked as an ice cream maker, I'm serious, at the first Steve's Ice Cream west of the Mississippi. And I can say, as a professional ice cream maker, their product is excellent.
Yes. And, of course, Spy Notes.
Yes.
The man behind Spy Notes.
Right. Does anyone remember Spy Notes? I worked at Spy Magazine in 1988 to 90, and that was the same time when there, you know, what are the books on there? Bright Lights, Big City, and
I got it.
I know, but I got to refresh my memory.
Yeah.
Bright Lights, Big City, Slaves in New York, Less Than Zero were very popular young Brat Pack novels, and we made a fake Cliff Notes version.
Yeah.
A parody, which Cliff Notes then sued us about.
He sued it. But you won.
We did win, and it came out.
And it still has his card in here.
Wow,
pull out.
You're really a collector.
Yeah. Well, eBay can do wonders for you.
That's amazing.
In a hurry, too, if you get it sent overnight, you know.
Hold it. I want to get back to my trivia.
Yeah, my trivia
game.
Yes, go ahead.
Spy Magazine, the connection to you is? You want to guess?
No.
It was
I have no idea.
Printed at Quad Graphics in Milwaukee.
Quad Graphics. All right.
And I visited Milwaukee once for the press run.
There you go.
Wonderful.
My doctor worked at Quad Graphics as their local physician there.
See?
So it all
comes together.
One degree of separation from Paul Sims, ladies and gentlemen. That's pretty much how it works out here. This is good. And this is the only Cliff Notes, the only notes that are actually better than the books.
Yeah.
That were, this is actually, the notes are great.
That's true. The one thing I'm most proud about is this. Obviously I made fun of all those books.
Yeah.
The one author I didn't make fun of in that, even though he was young and at the same time, you know, seemed like one of just that group, was Michael Chabon, who it turned out to be really a terrific author.
Was good. Yeah. I've spoken with him several times, and he's very good. Good. He's good reading, and he's good. He's a good guy to talk to. I guess we can't go through the notes. That would make much sense to anyone, but I really think that's a classic.
Well, thank you.
I want you to sign this. Sign it to my brother, my brother Arthur.
How come nothing is ever signed to you? It's always to someone else.
I know. I got the kids covered now. Say right. To Arthur.
Dear Arthur.
Yeah. Enjoy or something like that. You know, he's not very wordy himself.
Or
use to apply or something. You know.
Enjoy or something like that. I gotta go with what you said.
Sign it, Paul Sims. Two M's.
Two M's.
Two M's.
There we go.
All right. Okay. All right. Do we still? Then, speaking of the New York writers, just for a moment, if we might. Do we still have that going in New York? Do you have the obviously they're not the Brat Pack anymore, but is that
young novelists?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they're spread out all over the place, but there are there are young New York novelists. Yeah.
But they're not into the sex, drugs, and clubbing.
I wouldn't know. I'm 46. You know.
Yeah.
But I assume they are.
But wasn't that what was distinctive about that particular group?
That era was supposed to be about cocaine and drinking and sex, but that's writers, isn't it? I mean.
Yeah. And how horrible all that stuff was.
Yeah.
The ultimate enjoyment of life. It turns out to be so empty. And
they had to do all the research first, which sounded like a lot of fun. And then they wrote the books about how they realized that that's not the answer to life.
Yeah. And then with Larry Sanders, I mean, that was so remarkable because it in some ways it seemed like totally improvised and totally real. And yet, were you writing all the guests?
It's interesting. When we would have celebrity guests on playing themselves, we would write a rough version of what we wanted them to do, mainly to see if how open they were to making fun of themselves, and most of them were. But then once they started shooting the scenes, a lot of it was ad-libbed and improvised.
Yeah.
You know.
And writing for Letterman?
That was my
How do you write for Letterman? How does that work?
Well, there's you sit in a room with a bunch of people,
And do you have to pitch your own jokes and stuff?
No, you pitch them to the head writer, yeah. And then the head writer takes them in and then comes out and says, Dave liked this, Dave didn't like that. There were other segments sometimes I would be in charge of where I would go in myself and say to Dave, how about this or how about that? And yeah. I was 23 and very nervous about doing that because I'd grown up watching him since high school. That was the only job I ever wanted. And it's and then you get it, and then you're nervous as heck waiting in there because there's Dave Letterman sitting across from me saying, tell me something funny.
Really? Which is that what he said? Yeah. That's a little intimidating. But you did it. I mean, that's kind of unusual. And then news radio introduced the world to Andy Dick, and vice versa.
And I apologize for that.
Yeah.
But he is a terrifically funny, insane person.
Yeah. And that should have had more success than it did. That was one of those strange.
Yeah, it did. You got moved around on the schedule a lot, but ultimately, I was happy with the success it had. Yeah. Now I'm stuttering, which means by probably subconsciously I'm not happy with the success it had.
Yeah, but you, along with all these things, there never was in your mind a Paul Simms show or
news radio was a Paul.
That's pretty much you.
I feel like even though it was about a radio station, when I'd never worked at a radio station, it was when I had the original idea. It was around the same time that Seinfeld was getting popular and Friends was getting popular, and I thought those people, none of them ever go to work. What are they doing?
Yeah,
it looks like a great life. They're sitting around in their living rooms talking to each other. And my whole experience since I got out of college was to be in an office. Mm-hmm. So,
what office were you in?
Letterman counts as an office. Oh. I mean, not really. Yeah, it seems glamorous, but it's like any other office. It's a fluorescent lit office with a bunch of people sitting
in
the conference
room. So you weren't doing insurance or something?
No. Well, there's the ice cream making, but...
Yeah. Not like Kafka was doing insurance.
No.
His thing. And were you able to stay in New York all this time and do that? Because you're working Hollywood, Burbank, whatever.
No, I was in New York from 88 to 92, and then I moved out to L.A. for 10 years, and I moved back here around 2000.
Yeah.
And I love it here, and I would never move anywhere else. And furthermore, I'm not like one of those New Yorkers you see in a Woody Allen movie. He says, I'd never go to L.A. I went to L.A., I did it, I was there for 10 years, I had my fill, and now I'm back here.
Yeah. That's interesting. Is it difficult to do that? I mean, if you are a New Yorker at heart, and this is where you like to work, and it's where you're...
Well, it's worked out for me now. Yeah. I mean, I'm back here. I probably don't work as hard, but I have a 2-year-old and a 2-month-old, so I have... No. My wife has her hands full. I don't have my hands full.
Yeah.
Because I know she's listening. If I said I have my hands full on that right now, as soon as I got home, she would say, what did you do in the last week?
And Boardwalk Empire, we should mention.
Boardwalk Empire, I was friends with Tim Van Patten and Terry Winter, two of the executive producers of that show, and that was more unofficial. I would go out and just every once in a while talk to them about the plots of the upcoming shows, and they, I mean, you know, they'd say, we're going to kill this guy, and that guy's going to kill that guy, and I go, that sounds great.
Yeah, that's a great show.
Yeah, it is.
It's got the violence, it's got the humor.
And it looks like an amazing production.
And to write for Steve Buscemi, I mean, that's to die for, right?
He
could do anything. You could do anything with Steve Buscemi.
He's an amazing actor.
Yeah.
And director also.
Yeah.
And writer.
He's very cool. He's all those things and more. And, okay, so HBO and Larry Sanders, we got all here now. And you're writing for The New Yorker, so you're actually writing some prose pieces.
Yeah. I think that's my favorite thing to do right now.
Complaining about people in restaurants, that sort of thing.
Yes. Yeah,
and your complaint is New Yorkers in restaurants.
Well, that was the last piece. What was it called? Restaurant mental health code violations.
Yeah, mental health code violations.
About the, you can do. I eat out pretty much every night. I'm at a restaurant every night, so I've had many experiences.
At the same one or a different one?
No, all sorts of different ones.
Yeah.
Where have you eaten since you've been here? You came to New York. You must have had one restaurant.
Union Square Cafe.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was good.
That's good. Yeah. Where are you going tonight?
I don't. You know, here's me. I'm coming to New York, so I'm going to buy a sport jacket. It's been since the last show here, 99, I think. I need another sport jacket. That was the last one I got. So I want something, you know, for summer in New York or something. So I got a silk. This guy was going out of business. Good deal. $69. I got a silk jacket. But it's very light colored, you know. And so I said, they're not going to laugh me off the streets of New York wearing this. And they said, no, man, you'll kill him dead. Of course, he was at Madison. You know, he doesn't know what's going on. So I wore it to the Union Square Cafe, and I noticed no one was wearing anything that wasn't gray or black. You know, and here I am in this light cream-colored silk jacket.
If you had called me before you came to town...
It says, I'm not from here on the back.
I might have been able to lend you something, even.
You should have told me, John. You saw that I was wearing that jacket.
Yeah, I did.
You could have saved something. Yeah. Anyhow, so, yeah, you're saying the restaurants?
I don't know.
You can't get into the good ones, right? I mean, is it like...
No, yes, you can.
Yes.
Here's the secret. You want to know the secret to fine dining at the fanciest restaurants in the world?
Yes.
Go at 6 p.m. or at 10:30 p.m.
6 p.m.
Even the nicest restaurants, you walk in... They'll find a table for you.
Yeah.
Just don't try to go at 7.
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing tonight? Going at 7 somewhere?
No, no. Yeah, I did go to Le Bernardin one time.
Oh, I went there with my wife for our anniversary last year.
But I thought it was a little fishy. No, it was very good, except the jacket they gave me to wear had a dime in the pocket, and I thought that was tacky.
You don't own any jackets at all?
I didn't. I was here for... Boy, that was one of my work. You know, talk about dealing with NBC or business or people in the business and stuff. I had a chance to do a late night TV show like for syndication, and I was talking with they had the guy there from NBC. They had NBC Networks was there, and we went to Le Bernardin, and the guy from Chicago was there. They're gonna do it in Chicago, and the guy says to me, "So what kind of show do you want to do?" And I said, "I'll tell you what kind of show I don't want to do. I don't want to do a show where they bust down the doors of a black man and drag him out for the entertainment of a white audience." Something like that. I was just in that. That was my frame of mind at that time in my life. You
know, good pitch. That sounds
Yeah, that was great. A good pitch. And I've done that numerous occasions. I talk to these guys. And the guys from NBC station said, "Well, my only problem is I can't find enough of those." And he flipped the check to the guy from Chicago, and he was out of there.
And that was it.
And I was there with the dime in my pocket and somebody else's blazer.
And a jacket you had to give back.
That was it. That's my television career. Sorry. You ever do a pitch like that? I don't know what's wrong with it. I do these anti-pitch, you know, like...
I know what you mean. You get in that frame of mind when you're going in.
I don't know what's wrong with me, but that's why I'm
Well,
not
you get in that frame of mind where you say, where you think, they're going to make me do this. They're going to make me do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
I don't know.
You just have to say, I'm not going to say that.
Yeah. I think I didn't want to do it or something, and there was a way of proving it.
Subconsciously, psychologically, I think that's...
But true. I really hated those shows. Those doors, they actually would break down people's doors and, you know...
What's still going? Like Cops?
Yeah.
You don't want to do Cops.
Yeah. Do you have to do all your own pitches for projects that you have?
Yeah.
Tell me how you do approach that now. In case this ever happens to me again.
Keep it short. Know what you're going to say. practice in front of your bathroom mirror.
Do you have to say it's a combination of...
No, you know, I guess you could, but that seems so corny. Yeah. It's Cops meets, you know, Charlie's Angels.
No.
Would you do that show?
No.
You sure? Girls? Guys?
MASH. MASH goes bonanza.
I love that. Let's talk after the show. That's terrific. Yeah.
And I could not get you... I did some things at Disney Channel, actually, and stuff, and I could not understand their mentality, and they couldn't understand mine either, but, for example, Notes... I had no idea the concept of notes. We did a show, and I did an RNS. And then afterwards, I said, we'll go in here for notes. And notes is where they tell you everything you did wrong, everything they hate about you.
Yes. They don't hate you. They just hate what you wrote.
Yeah. Or they hate what you are, in my case, because it was a personality type thing, you know.
You know what? I think that's because there's so many people employed at the networks that everyone has to say something to make sure that they can say, well, I did my job today.
Yeah.
But there, every once in a while, you meet some good ones, some good executives out there who go like, "It seemed good. I liked it." That happens once out of every 100 times.
Yeah.
But
are you good at taking notes? I mean, if the people like
I got good at it, sure. You know,
you keep your resentment secret, or
no? That's why you have other writers. So as soon as you're done with that meeting, you go in the room with the other writers and you go like, "Can you believe what they just told us to do?"
Yeah.
You commiserate.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to do a version of our show here, and they said, "Well, we need our." Like you could have Chippendale dancers for quiz contestants. They really did. They were serious about this. You know, try to get that demographic. You know that. Whatever.
What is that demographic?
I have no idea what that means. And I said, "What would I stick the used questions in their waistbands?" Or you know, because I thought they were joking at first, and then I realized that they weren't joking. And I was in the wrong business.
This is the Disney Channel people?
The Disney people, yeah. They're trying to do a late night strip.
That's not the right way to approach it. Don't say I'm in the wrong business. You go like, that is a terrific idea. Then you go in, and when the Chippendale dancers come out, you go like, that guy wasn't funny. You make it impossible for him to be funny. And then afterwards you go like, look, I tried what you guys said. That just didn't work.
Have you done any hosting experiences on your own?
No.
Free of it?
No. I'm a writer, not a writer-performer.
Yeah.
I have such that my anxiety level's through the roof right now being out here in front of these nice people.
Really? Oh.
Well, the other thing is I quit drinking caffeine 3 years ago just because I thought it would help me sleep better. This morning I got up. I'm thinking, I got to do this radio show. My wife had been to Target and bought some new cranberry drink. I drank a can of it. And then afterwards she said, how did you like that cranberry energizer? I looked at the can, it said green tea extract, contains caffeine. I said, great, first time in 3 years I've had caffeine, I'm going to do this radio show.
Yeah. Oh, this is today?
This is this morning.
Oh,
this was
God.
2 hours ago.
It's funny, you don't seem energized.
Nah, that's the that's the writer part of me.
That's the writer part of me. And a new show's coming up for you.
The new show that a pilot I sold to HBO, who knows when we'll shoot it or if or when, but it's
can
about,
we speak of it or can
yeah,
we
can speak of it. It's about two working Broadway actors, not famous guys who are the third or fourth lead in every play, but manage to work every year and the trials and tribulations of their lives. Sort of another backstage show business glimpse, but lower down the spectrum than Larry Sanders was. Not the big lights of TV, but the quieter lights of Broadway.
And when we're writing such a thing, do we have certain actors in mind?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Sometimes
that
not.
That part we can't talk about.
Yeah, that's the part we can't. I knew we'd get to the part we couldn't talk about. So, but basically, if you're doing a project like that, you usually write for some actor that you can imagine doing it, right? Is that
sometimes, even if it's just in your own mind. When I did news radio, it was unusual because I wrote knowing that I wanted Andy Dick for some reason. I used to bump into him at the bookstore in Los Angeles. I'd see him on the Ben Stiller show, and he was a pest. He was just constantly saying...
That's hard to believe.
I know. Yeah. When are you going to put me in a show? Write a show for me. Dave Foley, I'd seen on Kids in the Hall. I loved him. Phil Hartman, I'd seen on Saturday Night Live. I loved him. And so those parts I wrote with him in mind without even knowing if they would be able to do it. And the other parts were people that we cast and just found that way.
Yeah, well... Amazing things, and...
Well, I'm so flattered, because when they called me to be on the show, what do they want me for?
Yeah.
But then I find out you're the super fan.
Well, no, yeah, you're behind everything I like.
That's great.
Well, not everything I like. There are certain foods that you're not...
Well, you know, no, and I was going to say, you also haven't seen everything I've done. Some of those pilots didn't count so well.
That's true. Well, I want to thank you for taking time and joining us here today. Your energizer is probably just about running out.
I think I'm about to crash.
You're about to crash.
Perfect timing.
Paul Sims, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, Paul. Great to meet you. Thank you. Paul Sims. Read him in the New Yorker. Watch for him on HBO. Next thing coming up. He's all over the place.
Once again, Michael Feldman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Jim. Going in the audience here again, once I can figure out how to do this. This is very confusing for a guy with my spatial problems. I have a little spatial problems. I can't visualize a cube in space. Really, it's been diagnosed. But how often does that come up? You got to visualize a cube in space. But I can't do it. I don't know what that means. Karen Quayle is here from Basking Ridge, New Jersey. My husband said I would enjoy this. Is her comment. It's not really a question, is it? I guess it is a question. It's more of a statement. Or
I didn't know the show because I work usually on Saturdays.
So you have no idea why you're here.
Because of him.
Yeah. He brought you here, but you've never heard the show?
Not really, no.
So you had no expectations. How bad can that be then?
That's fabulous to have no expectations.
So how are you feeling about it so far?
Having a wonderful time. I love this.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, a convert. A convert. Thank you, honey.
Anytime.
Okay. What a nice guy he is. Brett Stone from Jersey City, paralegal. Why was it decided that 25 ounces was the misdemeanor limit for pot? I think you're mixing up the big gulp and I don't think it's 25 ounces of pot. It's 25 ounces of sugary beverage. Grams. Yeah, you're thinking grams. 25 ounces of pot would be something to think about. But not, if you could still think, I guess it would be. Now, you are a paralegal, so you ought to get this straightened out. Is it? Is that Brett there? Brett.
Hindsight,
25 ounces, I think, is what you promised me, man. Okay. I just wanted to clear that up. I didn't want to leave that go, because that could be a problem for you. Does New York remind you in any way of Madison? Well, you know, they say Brooklyn is the new Madison. That's what I hear anyhow. Okay, maybe not. All right, we got Gene Lynch. Huh? Oh, hi, how are you? Should I come to you? Seems like it would be worth doing, yeah. Excuse me, make you get up there. Okay?
No problem.
You got the bobblehead in your hat there.
I do. Yeah.
Remember to take it out of your hat before you put the hat on.
I'll be sure to do that. Thank you.
Oh, I got one too.
Yeah, I got one.
My bobblehead brought people together. I love it. Come out here, dear, and we'll talk for just a little bit here. Gene Lynch from Ocean Bay Park.
Ocean Bay Park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's on Fire Island.
Oh, it is. Well, that's cool. That's cool. And you're a garbage truck driver?
I am a garbage truck driver. Can't even talk. I'm so nervous.
So you just drive the truck. You don't have to pick up the actual.
Well, I used to because I'd like to do, you know, I don't want to give a job to somebody that I myself haven't done. Oh. So I can toss the garbage. But I don't do it anymore because it's kind of smelly.
You've had the job and you've done it and you got the idea. And
yeah, the experience is there. Yeah, so now I direct. Not very well, though.
What? Wait a minute. I guess let's go down here and meet your husband. I'm going to make you get up again. I apologize to you. I feel like
you have one brain.
Yeah. Okay. One brain between you. All right, here's the husband with the other half of the brain. Which lobe are you in this brain?
When we met, I had a solid waste permit on my truck because I thought it was cool. Well,
is that how you met? Because you had the solid waste permit?
The Oak Beach Inn. We met at the Oak Beach Inn on Long Island, a watering hole, famous watering hole that doesn't exist anymore. It was torn down. It was too popular. Yeah, it was some factions of Long Island.
I don't want to get involved in local politics, so this sounds a little dicey. Yeah, go ahead.
But anyway.
You were doing solid waste and you met her.
And she was intrigued. Intrigued by that permit. Little did she know that she was going to be
your solid waste permit, and she was intrigued by it.
She said, "I'm in the book." She didn't give me her telephone number, but she says, "I'm in the book."
So
what about solid waste appeals, Dan?
Well, nothing anymore because now I have to file that. Permits. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm looking for something new to do. Yeah.
Well, that's the best pickup line I ever heard. Is I have a solid waste permit, honey.
And can your truck pick it up? I mean, you know.
And it's been how many years now?
She can drive a stick shift. So I mean, I said, I interviewed a lot of women. For her job, I spent many years looking for the right woman. Well,
you know, excuse me, that's my cue. That means I have to go down here. I'd love to sort some of this out here.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much.
We recycle, yes.
Oh, we do sort it out. Okay, so I guess it. Yes. Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for having me. And I wish I could help sort out a little more of that. But we're going to play the quiz again because, you know, we did one, and you were very good in that, by the way, Julius. Now, we'd like to know who else likes to play the What Do You Know quiz. Let's say you came here thinking, I would like to. Is that what you thought? You came here thinking I would. Yes. You were. Well, then I guess it's you I'm talking about. It is you I'm talking about. Because she came here thinking, you know, I would like to, whatever that is, and do it. Hello.
I'm Christine Keough, and I was upset that you didn't pick my question, because that's my new fiancé, and my question was, are you happy for me that I got engaged last week?
Oh, I have your card here.
Yes.
I just didn't get
it. Now, here, I'm asking you.
Christine, I'm very happy for you.
Thank you.
How could I not be happy for you, Christine?
Thank you.
He's a very nice guy. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful life together.
Thank you, Michael.
And there's no hauling of solid waste involved in your relationship.
No,
so
that's not. That wasn't his pickup line.
Yeah. Christine, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because I'm really happy to be here, and this is my second time seeing your show.
Excellent. She has background.
He has deep background in what to expect. Christine, let's go up here. As we enter the skirball stage, this is nice. I'm going to get this. Have a seat here if you would, Christine. Make yourself at home. There's some water there that... Actually, Sarah Jessica Parker might have had that water, drunk some of that water.
I'm definitely going to take it with me.
Yes, take it with you. And seal it and keep it.
I'll sell it on eBay.
Yeah. Christine, right?
Yes.
And what do you do as far as work or occupation or education?
I'm a medical director at a pharmaceutical advertising agency.
Ooh. So what do you do then? There's a lot of ways that could go, I would think.
Yes.
Medical director at a...
We do lots of mechanism of action videos. My company's called IO Media.
Oh.
So we have a sports and entertainment division, and then we have healthcare.
Well, did you analyze a Loudon song, Meds?
I was giggling a lot.
Yeah.
It was very funny, work on any of those products. I'm not endorsing them.
Yeah, I know. You could do something with that, though.
Yeah, I do. There are a lot of horrible side effects. I work primarily on oncology products.
Oh, okay. Okay. And what do you do to relax after a day of oncology products?
I usually work until like 11 p.m., so I come home and just pass out.
How do you have time to be engaged with this job?
We were less busy about a year and a half ago when we met, and then we moved in together in December and have been working nonstop since then. So we're happy we met when we were less busy a year and a half ago.
And when is the big day? Do we have that plan?
Sometime between May and October of 2013.
Well, that's narrowing it down pretty good.
We're not sure.
Don't you want to nail this down a little bit just so it won't go away?
I don't think he's going anywhere.
No, okay. All right. That's a good thing. All right, so you know how this quiz works, Christine? You've been here before, so you're familiar with it. Someone out there plays along with you. And Jim Packard, how do they do that? What's that number
again? They grab that phone and they dial
212-992-3695. Okay.
I'm not a genius like Julius, though.
Yeah, okay. You don't do Legos or anything? Here's the question. What's 12 foot wide, 23 feet long, 15 foot high, and costs $1 million? Okay, here in New York City. All right. Costs $1 million. If you want, you can have this space. It's 12 feet wide. It's 23 feet long, 15 feet high. Costs $1 million. It'll cost you $1 million for this spot. What is it? If you know, give us a call here. Someone from Burlington, Wisconsin is bound to know this. That would be you, Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah.
Did you hear this thing here? It's 12 feet wide, 23 feet long, 50 foot high. Costs $1 million. It's in New York City. Do you know what that is, Steve?
No, I don't have the foggiest idea. My daughter's in New York City, but she's not that big.
Yeah. Well, what do you? let's work over this notion here. Now, what do you think it might be? Here's something that's a small space. Or a relatively small space.
That would be a place to live, maybe, that would cost $1 million because it's small.
Yeah, $1 million is too cheap for a place to live in New York. So if you weren't living in it, what might you do with a space of that size? Let's say if it was on East 11th Street, for example. What could that be in there?
Oh, a parking spot.
A parking spot. Like that's what I'm talking about, Steve.
Yeah, thank you.
In Burlington, you could get two parking spots for that same price, I think.
Yeah, two and a half.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, okay. What do you do there in Burlington, Steve?
I'm a Lego designer.
No, are you?
No, I'm a pastor.
Oh, you're a pastor. Okay.
Yeah.
That would have been too perfect. We get those sometimes with that one. You're a pastor. And where do you pastorize?
I'm a pastor at a church. At a church in Lake Geneva, which is the next town.
Okay. You can give the name of it. That's okay.
Oh, it's Mount Zion Christian Church, Lake Geneva.
Mount Zion in Lake Geneva. Yep. Okay. Great to have you. Steve, this is Christine.
Hello, Steve.
Hi, Christine.
She's in drugs. and the two of you are a team right now, so you cooperate on this. Jim Packard, what are those categories?
Categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Pastor Steve, you can take the first one.
Okay, school.
School it is. All right. Central Park has trees. We know that. How many? The question is, I don't know, maybe 40,000 trees, 14,606 trees, or 19,993 trees. The number of trees in Central Park. So you should have learned this in school in New York, I think.
40,000, 14,000, or 19,000?
Something like that, yeah.
Steve?
How's it look from Burlington, Steve?
I guess I should know better.
Yeah, we don't have that many trees in Burlington. I'm thinking around the 14,000 one, but
maybe
count them.
Or more.
Or 19.
What was the highest one?
Or 40,000.
Well, 40,000 seems like a lot of trees. Yeah.
So it's 19,
yeah,
maybe
it's
so we're really talking about
14,606,
19,993. Does that sound?
Yes.
Yes, that's it. Okay, you got it. That's exactly it. 174 species. Jim.
One right, no wrong.
Okay, what's left there, Jimmy?
Current events, people, places, science, odds and ends.
Okay. Christine?
I'll pick science and then I'll fail miserably.
No, you won't. Look, this is easy. Recently discovered in Midtown Manhattan, a new species of one of the following, a new species of frog, bedbug, or pigeon. Midtown Manhattan, a brand new species they didn't know existed. Frog, bedbug, pigeon. Why are you scratching?
it was in my bed and it was a bedbug. I think maybe pigeon.
Do you think it's maybe pigeon, Steve? You want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, that's what I'm leaning for is pigeon. But that does seem too obvious.
I'm sorry, it's a frog.
Frog?
Yeah, a new type of frog in Midtown Manhattan. Look around, you'll probably see it. If you look down once while you're walking, you'll see a new type of leopard frog. New species.
One right, one wrong.
Okay, I know, it's shocking and it's surprising. All right. What's left there, Jim?
Current events, people, places, odds, and ends.
Current events, people, places, odds, and ends. Steve.
Current events.
Can I call you Steve instead of Pastor Steve? Because that's
absolutely.
Okay, all right. I don't be too familiar. Hey, what'd you say, current events?
Current events?
Yes.
He said current events, yes, okay. True or false, Governor Cuomo's marijuana decriminalization would allow people to, quote, walk around with up to 10 joints in each ear. According to a councilman.
Oh, according to a councilman, it's got to be true then.
It's got to be true. Hey, Wisconsin humor
true.
There. You think that's true? You can walk around with 10 joints in each ear?
Good.
Well, I think a councilman probably said that. But
yeah.
I don't know. We can hear about that in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Apparently, my fiance heard incorrectly that it was 25 ounces. So obviously, we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah. So then you would say probably... It's true that a councilman said it.
Yes.
But in fact, can you?
You cannot do that.
All right, so then it would
it's
be
false.
It would be false. False, yes, that's false. Okay, that's two right. Okay.
Two right, one wrong.
What's left there, Jim?
People, places, odds, and ends.
People, places, odds, and ends.
People.
People, kind of survey results. Percentage of butt calls to 911 in New York. 11%, 21%, or 38%. There were over 10 million calls to 911 in New York. We want to know the percentage that were butt calls, inadvertently butt called. I like saying that. I don't know why.
What was yes. The middle number again? About 21%?
Yeah, the other one was 38% at the end. First one was 11%. Maybe. Surprisingly high number of butt calls to 911.
38%. I think a surprisingly high number, 38%.
38% of butt calls.
Steve feels pretty strongly about that. I'll agree, 38%.
38%, exactly right, 30%. Nearly 4 million butt calls to 911. Those butts are in some kind of need. Congratulations, you won. Jim Packard, what have they won?
Steve, you've won special exhibition passes to see Creatures of Light, Nature's Bioluminescence at the famous American Museum of Natural History, and then read When Did the Statue of Liberty Turn Green and 101 Other Questions About New York, and play What Do You Know, the Party Game, available exclusively at NotMuch.com. Christine, although Queen Elizabeth Jubilee is now a thing of the past, you can visit the Queen's Museum of Art, located in the New York City building of the 1939 World's Fair, and read Art of the Crossroads of the World, published by Yale University, and mark What Do You Know Silver Jubilee with a limited edition Michael Washington Feldman quarter. Get in the groove with tickets to the citywide Blue Note Jazz Festival, including a hat, t-shirt, and keychain from the Blue Note Jazz Festival. Congratulations to you.
All right. We're up to the part of the show I was looking forward to, especially. Brian Petroff, Douglas Quint are here. Big Gay Ice Cream Shop and Truck.
Shop and Truck.
Shop and
shop
Truck.
And truck.
You got your shop. You got your truck. So you got which game? Did you have the brick and mortar originally and then did the truck, or was the truck there and then you went brick and mortar?
No, we started out as a truck, yeah. 2009.
Yeah.
And we didn't even think it was going to last like a day or two.
The truck was purely a joke. It was just I was given the chance to have an ice cream truck, and it seemed like the stupidest thing I could possibly do with a summer as a 30-something-year-old guy was to ride around in an ice cream truck. So
is it an old Mr. Softy or something?
It's a piece of crap.
It looks like an old Mr. Softy truck.
Yeah. The bumper's half off.
Last night, the blinkers stopped working. There was a hole in the floor for a couple of months last year.
Yeah.
The gear shift was a screwdriver.
I had to put the steering wheel back on with duct tape at the end of last season.
Yeah. Douglas, right? Douglas, right?
Correct.
Right.
50-50.
Brian, right? You're a Petroff. You don't have any people in Milwaukee, do you?
I'm Doug Quinn.
Doug Quinn.
So Brian.
You're a Petroff.
Yes.
Do you have people in Milwaukee?
My people are not in Milwaukee.
Okay, because there's a Petroff's in Milwaukee, which was an ice cream stand.
Really?
Yeah. And it was the only one we had, a custard stand in Milwaukee, but it was huge in Milwaukee, you can imagine.
I grew up in Florida.
Oh, okay, all right.
College in Chicago, though.
All right. Okay. All right, and the thing about your soft serve is it's not your typical soft serve.
No, it's not Mr. Softy soft serve. It's more like a traditional ice cream base, like a scooped ice cream, very high butterfat content.
How do you make it so soft, though, that it comes out of a machine?
Well, you give it a little love, yes.
So which one of you does that? Which one of you gives the love to the ice cream? Is that mainly your job? Or?
Brian loves the mix, and I love the machine.
Yeah. But some of these toppings, like you have this wasabi pea.
Wasabi peas.
Yeah.
Yeah, which are pretty ubiquitous in New York City.
But I know, but not usually on ice cream, right?
No. Olive oil, sea salt.
Olive oil on top of the ice cream?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as a topping.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like a great sundae would be... Yeah. Olive oil, a little sea salt, maybe some fig sauce, toasted pine nuts.
Yeah,
it's a little sweet
for
savory.
For whom? It's got to be. Yeah. It's got the savory. It's got the sweet, and that's so. You are kind of you're the inventor of many of these.
We're both purely disturbed, his has more productive outcome than mine, which is more. And it comes out in ice cream.
Well, they say Mario Batali meets Mr. Softy. Is that pretty much?
Yeah, that was a nice quote about us.
Yeah, the Village Voice said that.
Village Voice. Okay. Now you brought some apparatus here or something. What do we have here, actually?
We have a blender, Michael.
Yeah.
And we have three shot glasses.
Thanks for bringing that blender, really.
Thanks, everyone. It's been a great show.
Okay.
Do you want me to get up and make you something?
Yes. Fine.
Fine. Just say it.
Give me the microphone.
I need direction. Okay. Well, we're gonna make you a milkshake. And not that we want to do any brand endorsements, but we're just using the same old Jen and Barry's ice cream you could get at home. And I'm going to make a big-ass batch here. We'll do a double. So I guess this is about 4 scoops of vanilla I'm putting in. And, looks like I'm putting in a whole carton. Diet time. This milkshake has all of your major food groups, which are dairy. We have fat and booze. A little bit of milk.
Can't help but notice the Maker's Mark bottle just sitting there.
We'll get to it. I need a shot. I'm actually going to put in about a shot of maple syrup.
Naturally, one would.
Yeah, this is breakfast at home. Then I'm going to do 2 shots of Maker's.
2 shots.
Well, and by 2, I mean 4.
It gives a nice pour, I'll tell you that.
Great. And I put milk in already. When you're putting in booze, you don't need a lot of milk. And then our subtle little blender here will do some work. And then we're going to enjoy it.
Is this your invention and this is drink?
The blender has come long before me.
No, not the blender. I mean the drink.
I don't think so. I mean...
That's a bourbon butterscotch.
Oh man, this is a stiff
one. This is sick.
I definitely went a little crazy. You know?
High up. Oh, high up. Oh man, is that ever good?
Yeah.
This could make a guy like ice cream. Cheers. Thank you so much. Oh, man. So, you're not drinking?
No.
From the big gay ice cream truck. Thank you, guys. Oh, it's wonderful.
Toast to Nora on her graduation night.
Nora, dear, I'm going to be there as soon as I can, honey. Get the party going.
Thanks for joining me during this special edition of What Do You Know? And throughout the entire Funny You Don't Look 30 special. That was John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and the funky drummer Clyde Stubblefield on drums. And, of course, Jim Packard overall. What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm the producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with help from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Diana Cook, Kelly Osborne, and Megan Hannis. Our technical director is Tom Blaine with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
PRI, Public Radio International.